This is a Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever, for evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Any of you out there are a U2 fan, you probably recognize the first few lines of that psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Waiting patiently for the Lord. I knew that this was going to be my sermon, but I thought it was going to be next week, but I couldn't wait. And here's why I couldn't wait. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? This week on Facebook, I was tagged in a post for the non-initiated. That means someone wrote something on their computer, put it up on the internet, and kind of tagged me so I would look at it. From someone who had gone to undergraduate with me back in the early 1980s in Brockport, New York. And he had been a friend of mine who I had recruited into our college radio station. And he reminded me, most of you know music is important to me, he had reminded me of a day when we were all hanging around in the station and a new record had come in. We had all heard about something coming out of Texas that was going to be the next big thing in blues. It was this guy who played amazing guitar, and his first album was coming out, and the day it came in, we grabbed that album, we went into the production studio, closed the doors, cranked everything up to 10.5, and played the album front to back. It was Stevie Ray Vaughan's first album. And he posted that, and he did a reminiscence about sitting in that room together, like 5 or 6 of us, young Turks, listening to new music, getting all excited, deciding how we were going to promote it and things like that. And as I read it, I flashed back to that time and what a wonderful time it was. Great things happening. I was the manager of the college radio station at that point. And we had this cadre of friends that had gotten together and kind of taken over the station to turn it into something it wasn't, to turn it into something joyous and fun and crazy and unpredictable and creative. And we had a marvelous time doing it. And it was a golden time. And I sat there and in my 48, almost 49-year-old body and mind, for what it's worth, and I thought to myself, the thought came up of, I only wish that I had realized back then what a golden time it was. You know, because at the time I was dirt poor. I had next to nothing in the way of money. And I was dating someone that wasn't right for me and I wasn't right for her. And that was crazy and spiraling out of control. And I was wondering, because I was a senior, or almost a senior, what I was going to be doing for a living and how I was going to pay off my student loans and all of this and all of this and all of this and all of this. But then the next thought that came to me in my 48, almost 49-year-old mind was, and Lord, help me to realize how golden these times are. I've got a circle of friends in a band, and one of them's actually here today. And we are creative and fun-loving and doing wonderful stuff. I've got great friends in a choir, and we're creative and fun-loving and doing wonderful stuff and new stuff. And I've got friends in a church that is feeding the hungry and finding new ways to talk about God and bring meaning into people's lives. And I've got a family that is growing and thriving, and everything is golden. Is golden. But I still fall victim to that same thing I fell victim to back then. You see, we're always locked in one plot or another, one narrative or another. And it's natural for us, just like when we're in the movie theater, leaning forward in our seats, waiting for what's going to happen next. And we sometimes find ourselves living our life the same way. And we can be so focused in on what's going to happen next that we aren't part of what's happening now. And a lot of times, the only time we wake up to this fact is when we're stopped dead in our tracks by something serious, some crisis, a death or a serious illness. But every once in a while we're given moments of deep clarity where we can stop and say, wait a minute, let's look at this. A few years back, I did a children's message where I told all the kids to find the little switch up here in their head somewhere that controlled their camera and take a picture, click, and remember it forever. And remember it forever. The great theologian, Mother Superior Carly Simon, sang, "These are the good old days." For those of you old enough like me to remember the song, for those of you who don't, forget about it. Pick out your own song. I'm sure Eminem or Katy Perry or Adele. Adele probably has something that says the same thing. But anyway, patience with God. The name of the sermon is The Patient Patient, and it means just this. God has no waste product. God has things in mind, and God sets things in motion and then lets us go. But God never intends for us to be focused on heaven at the expense of everything that's here right now. And when we fall into our religion in such a way that we're completely focused on salvation, on what's going to happen at the end, we miss so many blessings that God gives us every day. And we miss opportunities to be a blessing to other people if we would just be in the here and now. And there are so many gifts that other people give to us that we can just accept and be on our way, or we can open them in front of them and share them with others. Now, back in the day in the college radio station, I had one special friend who was our sales director, who's leaning against the door back there right now, and we were both flat broke. And at the time, God was so good as to have the Perry's Ice Cream Company design creamsicles, that greatest of all taste treats, produced with not one stick in the middle like they do now, but two sticks. And so the two of us would pool our money together and go down to the student union right around the corner from the college radio station, and we'd buy one creamsicle and break it in half. That was lunch and sometimes dinner. Boy, I was thin back then. And we would sit and eat our creamsicles and talk about the past, present, and future. And neither one of us had any idea at all what the future was going to hold. Now, I knew that I was madly in love with my best friend. And I knew she was dating somebody who I also appreciated. And I was dating somebody. Got to remember, these things go out on the internet. And so it was all complicated and twisted, and everything was just nutso. But at a table in a busy student union with kids flying all over the place, laughing and screaming, and the music playing in the background, and the music playing is one of my DJs, so I've got to keep an ear tuned to see if he's good enough to go on to FM or if he's still messing up. And classwork, homework, part-time jobs could all freeze for a couple minutes to enjoy just being. I mean, being poor, being cold, being hungry, being confused, being scared about the future, yes, but being in a present moment in blessing. In blessing. The patient, that phrase suggests two things. First of all, it suggests, yes, you have to be patient with God, because things unfold, and we can't always tell where they're going. We're not always supposed to even be able to tell where they're going. But we need to be patient. We need to wait patiently for the Lord and have faith that God has inclined God's ear and hears us and knows what's going on and has a sense of a bigger picture. That's the first patient, to be patient. And the second patient, of course, is being a patient, realizing that who we are right now, who I am right now, is not complete. Who I was at age 18, 19, 20, 21, while I was a great guy, I was not complete. And I didn't have all the information I needed. I didn't know exactly where things were going to go or where they were going to end up. I had healing to do. I had work to do. There was more to learn and more ways to grow. And that's our whole life, my friend. At age almost 49, I still got crazy things going on in my life and stuff I don't know how to handle, and what's going to happen with this, and how are we going to deal with that, and where are we going to find the money to do this, and on and on and on, and it can pile up. And we can forget that we're still growing, we're still healing, and we're still blessed. We should take a moment every day, if not every hour, and just look around amid the chaos and see the gold, see the good and wonderful and golden. It's there. It's everywhere. It's all around us in this room. Look around you. Look at your friends. Look at the days we have together. Think about what you're going to do tomorrow, where you're going to go, and what you're going to do, who you're going to talk to. You're crossing paths, and God's at work. Things are changing, sometimes in ways you don't understand. And the person you are right now is not quite the person you will be tomorrow, who's not quite the person you'll be next week. Patient, as God, the great physician, continues to heal and hold and bind up and let loose and create in our lives. We wait patiently for the Lord, who inclines to us and hears our cry. Amen.